May the 26th, 2019. I can't believe I'm saying this, but the offer still stands. If you want a copy of this booklet, we will send one to you free anywhere in the world. All you have to do is email me at info@ohiogracebible.com with a mailing address, physical mailing address, please, and we will send you a free copy no matter where you are in the world. I mentioned before that when I opened our most recent shipment of booklets from the publisher, this photograph was sitting on the pile of books. And it's a photograph of a man. He looks like a pastor. He looks like he's preaching, and he's got a copy of this booklet sticking out of his pocket. That man is Pastor Wilson Watkins, and he pastored a church in Detroit for many years before he had the best day of his life, and he died and went to heavenly places. Amen. But on the back of this photograph, it says, you can see Jay Witte in Pastor Watkins' pocket. Before he died, he gave away more than 2,000 copies. And he says, you're gaining on him. And I say, amen to that. You're gaining on him. That's an honor. And I just wanted to stop and thank all of you for the support you've given to give these books away. I can tell you, verily and assuredly, if it was just Melissa and I paying for it, it would have ended a long time ago. So thank you, and we can continue to do this. And also to the folks in the YouTube audience, that you know, we've had people donate from all over the earth. People we've never met, never seen, never been here one day, sent in support to keep this going and keep getting the message out. And it's kind of neat how it worked out. I told you we sent about 36 copies into Australia this week. And some folks in Australia sent in some donations. Now we paid for the stuff to go to Australia. We already bought it. We had the stuff in stock. We paid the freight to send that there. But when they sent their donation in, well, what do you know, right after that, I get some folks in Canada that want booklets. So I can take the Australians' donation and pay for the stuff to go to Canada. And then some people in Canada said, hey, this is great, and they sent it a donation. Well, what do you know? I get our first request from Brazil. So I can take the Canadians' donation and use that to send them to the Brazilians. So it's really neat how that's worked out. What's that?
Domino effect.
Yeah, and it's members of the body supporting what they identify as worthwhile, and we're able to help people and get this information out there. And I mentioned I was excited to hear from Brazil. We haven't heard from that country yet. And I just read a book, I want to say a year or two ago, about a famous Brazilian. And his name, let me make sure I get his name right. I printed it out here. Candido Mariano da Silva Rondon. And I read a fascinating book about this guy and what he did in the Amazon rainforest with none other than a United States president. And this was back in the days where if you wanted to go to the Amazon rainforest, you had to walk there. There was no planes and cars, and it was an interesting book. And there's actually a state in Brazil named after him called Rondônia. But I just want to say hello to the folks in Brazil. That's how they say it. They have an S when you put it on the address label. It's not a Z like it is for us. And they speak Portuguese down there, so they'll need some people to translate. Lastly, before we get into this week's lesson, we got another letter from a guy I'll call now Mr. Funny Pants. Remember the guy that nicknamed Justin Johnson out in Indiana? He nicknamed him Smarty Pants? I got another letter from this guy. His name's David. He lives out in Arizona. And He doesn't send emails. He handwrites letters on lined paper, which I've heard people did in ancient times. You know, like the 80s or something? People used to handwrite letters, and he's still doing that.
But paper?
No, it's just regular lined notebook paper. But he sent me a letter, and when he sends me a letter, I literally LOL. You know, I literally laugh out loud when I read it. But he said, I used to wonder what I was going to do now that I'm retired, but now I see I have to hold on until Jay Witte 128. He says, remember, I only have about 20 years left. To which I would say, don't try me, sir. Last time we did a Jay Witte, I did one sentence on one page for the whole lesson. But he says in another part of his letter, he says, I have not found another person to fellowship with. So he's alone. He says, I would like to be able to have someone to watch your videos together with. It's no fun making fun of you by myself. So if there's anyone in Arizona that would like to go to David's house and make fun of me with him, please get in contact with me. We'll hook the two of you guys up. All right, so that is the preliminaries. We can get into Jay Witte 15 on our way to Jay Witte 128. Do you remember last time we talked about, are we comfortable being entirely Pauline in our doctrine? And in that regard, with suffering and with bad things happen in bad circumstances. And I ended with, my feelings are not God. Can we admit that our feelings are not God? Our desires are not God's word rightly divided. God's grace is sufficient for me. God's grace is sufficient for all of you. And we should be grateful and thankful for that. But what I want to talk about this week, we're on page 19 in the booklet. Page 19. One-niner. And the reason I want to touch on this, I've gotten some emails from people who have asked me about generational curses. They've asked me about tithing curses and other kinds of curses. Hocus pocus. Hokai pokai. Is that the right pluralization? Hocus is not hocuses pocuses. That would be ridiculous. But they've been asking me about these curses, and I'm looking here at page 19 in the booklet, and it says, not only have you not robbed God by not tithing, you cannot be put under a curse. It is bad enough for preachers to put people under the law when they were supposed to be at liberty, Galatians 4, 9 through 11, but it is reprehensible to threaten people with a curse when Christ took our curse upon himself. If you have Galatians 3:13 in your Bible, you can turn to it. By the way, the fact that we have given away so many free booklets around the world, this is from a little church who preaches against tithing, who has never asked anyone for a dime. We don't even pass a plate around. We've got a box on the back of the wall that nobody ever talks about. The fact that this little church is able to give away that many booklets, that is proof of grace working in people. Amen. Grace doctrine working in people. It ain't legalism and it ain't the law that's giving away those books. It's people freely giving as their own heart purposes. And that to me is wonderful. Okay, where was I? Galatians 3:13. 13. Yes. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That's a big folder to put whatever curse you think is on you. This is a giant, infinite pile of grace that is available to all of us. Christ, that's where you put, you think you got a generational curse? I know that's popular in some denominations and some circles. You think you have a generational curse? Well, guess what? Christ was made to be a curse for you. You think you got a tithe curse going on? Guess what? Christ is strong enough to take care of that. Maybe your parents hated you, and they cursed you. Is Christ strong enough to take care of that? Is the God-man dying for you strong enough to take care of the fact your daddy hated you? What about what the priest or the nun told you? What about the curse they put on you? Is Christ more powerful than the priest or the nun? Amen. Well, what you spent some time getting into some weird stuff in the 70s. What about the voodoo and the witch doctors that cursed you? Is the Lord's... Yeah, pastors! I'm sure there are pastors all around the world that have cursed me over and over and over again. Guess what? My Savior's stronger than that.
Amen.
It's a giant, infinite folder. What about, well, you got the devil... By the way, demon is not a Bible word. Demon's an untranslated Greek word, and in Greek mythology, there are good demons and there are bad demons. There's no demons in your Bible, there are devils. What about the devil of whatever that you think is vexing you, that you're cursed with? Can Christ take care of that?
Amen.
In the most important event in all of human history, the Lord Jesus Christ made to be a curse for you. But how many people who have heard the gospel, they've heard 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, Christ died for your sins, He was buried, He rose again the third day. They've trusted it even, but they still are carrying the bags. They still have the baggage in their heart and mind of, I've got this curse, I've got this problem. What that priest said to me is never going to go away. How many people walk around with that baggage still for the rest of their lives? You don't know what I did in the 60s. Baggage. You don't know what I said to my father before he died. Baggage. You don't know the stuff I've done. You don't know the curse that that voodoo guy put on me and how I felt. It's baggage. It's not more powerful than the Lord Jesus Christ. Is Galatians 3:13 true? Can you apply it to you then? You know, we can apply it to other people. We can say, no. You can get over that because Christ was made to be a curse for you. You can't be cursed. You're a new creature now. Get over it. But do we get over it? Do we leave our guilt here? Do we leave our pain here? It's easier to do it when you're talking to somebody else, isn't it? We don't want to hold on to our bags either. I'm not letting go. What about... We all, I would say, have spent a good deal of time in churches that think that they are Israel in some way or another. We steal Israel's doctrine. You're taught Israel's doctrine, made to think that you are Israel in some way. Okay? You had your preacher beat you up with Malachi 3, 2 Chronicles 7:14, Jeremiah 29:11. You're taught a bunch of Israel's doctrine, and you've got that bag of Israel's doctrine that you're holding on to, and you're having a hard time getting rid of it because you believed it for so long. It's so ingrained in you, when somebody says something different about the body of Christ is not this. Your instructions don't come from here. Jay Witte, it sounds crazy. Where did we get the idea that Jay Witte? From Jay. The Lord Jesus Christ said it. I'm not talking to you. Funny how that works. What about all the pagan stuff? You know, a lot of people, not so much you good Christian Americans, but a lot of people that watch these videos around the world have had experience with idols and false gods and pagan stuff and witchcraft and things like that. What do you do with that? You know, they have experiences. They meet a spiritualist or a shaman or a witch doctor or whatever, and whatever hokey pokey they do with their incense and whatever and their idols, it makes them get goosebumps. You think something's happening. What do you do with that stuff? Look at the next verse in Galatians. No. Look at three chapters ahead in Galatians. Galatians 6:14. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in what? That cross. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. What's in the world? All your curses, all your guilt, all your past, all your baggage, all your sin. Everything you're walking around with, you're dead to it and it should be dead to you. Because now you're not that anymore. Look at verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything. What's circumcision? Israel. All of Israel's doctrine that you've been holding on to, that you've been stealing, committing spiritual larceny, trying to make yourself Israel, that avails you nothing in Christ. Circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. That's the folder you can put all your pagan junk in. All your false gods of the Gentiles, all those wicked things you've done in your flesh. None of those avail anything but a new creature. A new creature. Now, you've seen me draw the three parts here. We know we are three-part beings. Spirit, soul, and body. Okay? We are born with this body of sin, and our spirit is dead. Correct? So our soul, our spirit's dead. There's nothing going on there. So our soul is connected to this body of the sins of the flesh. Where's it headed? A hole in the ground and everlasting punishment, correct? We have no choice. We're stuck with it. When you become a new creature, God did something so amazing for you and you didn't feel a thing probably. You don't know it happened until you read the Bible verses that tell you what happened. But God did surgery. He came in and He breathed life into your dead spirit. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now we've got an option over here. We've got life. And God did this operation where he cut you loose from the body of the sins of the flesh. So now your spirit can choose life. And you're not stuck with this body of sin that's dragging you down. You're something new that hasn't existed before. And I shouldn't have done a dotted line here. I should have done a straight line, because I know from the book of Ephesians, he sealed me in Christ. And put Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's new for you rotten, uncircumcised Gentile who had no hope. Now you've got an alive spirit, you're sealed in Christ, you've got God the Holy Spirit resident in you, and now you can choose life? Hallelujah!
Amen.
Guess what? There isn't a curse or a being or a power that can get through that. That's God's doing. Is God more powerful than that? Amen, amen, amen. There is nothing on this world, in this world, in heavenly places that can undo God's operation. If you've trusted Christ's payment for your sins, that's you, a new creature, sealed and secure. By none other, let's put three lines around here. God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. What's getting through all three members of the Godhead? Nothing. Look over next page in the book of Ephesians in your Bible. Ephesians 1:12. But the preacher told me, if I don't start tithing and bring in my tax forms, I'm going to bring a curse on this assembly. Boing! But the priest told me if I didn't come back to Mother Rome that there was going to be a curse on my life and bad things are going to happen. Boing! Your powers aren't getting through God's powers. Ephesians 1 and verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Do you think that God is going to let anything mess up the praise of His glory? Well, that's what you're doing, though, when you're trying to drag your baggage in here into a place where it can't go. You're trying to bring your filth and mess up the praise of God's glory. Your curses, your baggage, your past can't go here.
Thank you.
Amen to that. Do you ever think about it like that, though? You don't really think about it. I'm trying to muddy up what God has made me in Christ Jesus by holding on to this guilt, by holding on to these curses and these doctrines that are wrong. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Period. You are this now. Can you admit it? Can you learn to start acting like it? It's a fact. You might as well admit reality if you're going to learn how to act like what God has made you in Christ. Old things are passed away, the verse goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Behold, all things are become new. How many things? All things would include that, right? All things would include that, 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 that. All things are become new, which means you should leave that stuff where it is, nailed to the cross.
Amen.
And learn to walk in newness of life. You know, and I was taught that verse as a kid. I didn't understand the power of that verse because the people teaching me didn't understand the power of that verse. When they read, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. That means you quit buying season tickets to the NFL games and you stop buying beer and you quit smoking and you go to church. That's how I was taught that verse. No, you've gone from death to life. You've gone into this new creature that wasn't anywhere before in your Bible. You're part of this mystery body of Christ that's not looking to go to Israel's kingdom and stand on the earth with their Redeemer, but you're going to glorify God in heavenly places. That's a new thing, and that wasn't talked about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Interesting. You have to go to the boring books of Paul to read that. And you tell people, you know, let it go, leave it in the past, move on. You're a new creature in Christ now. And they say, I know, I know, I know, but. Leave your butt. Your butt can't go in here. It's not going to go in here. Leave it out here, please. You can't bring your butt into the new creature. But all these bad things have happened, and I really think that there's this curtain. Leave it. It's nailed to the cross. You live on a planet of 7.5 billion enemies of God. On a sin-cursed earth, which is run by the devil, you should be surprised when you're having a few good days in a row. There's lots of reasons for bad things to happen to you that aren't some kind of curse on your life. Okay? So stop trying to bring it into the new creature. You need to leave the curses where Christ put them, nailed to His cross. Press on. You ever heard that phrase? You need to press on in Christ. Pressing on means you're encountering resistance, isn't it? Well, who wants that? But you're commanded to press toward the mark. Look at, you still have Ephesians here? Look at chapter 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by church attendance are ye saved through good works. Oh, that's not what your translation says? For by right living are ye saved through your church. Let me try my third option here. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I understand that, but I'll never get over X that happened. I understand that, but I know I'm always cursed in this regard because that's not going away. You're trying to take your butt to a place that can't go. Look at the next verse. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Does God have cursed workmanship? Did God let the church, the body of Christ, be cursed? Well, you're a part of it. And if you're trying to bring your curse and your baggage into it, you're trying to muddy up what God made. And it's not possible. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There's a lot of people who don't listen to the should. But what God has made you is saved, sealed, and secure. And it takes a millisecond for you to hear the gospel, believe it, and trust it, like Ephesians 1:13 says. It takes a millisecond in your mind where you choose to say, yes, I will trust Christ, and I will stop trusting my religion. I will stop trusting my works. I will stop trusting my efforts. I'm going to put my faith in Him. In that millisecond, God performs this operation on you. He saves you. He crucifies that body of sin of the flesh. He makes your spirit come alive, seals you, gives you a seat in heavenly places, a member of the church, the body of Christ, and indwells you with His Holy Spirit like that.
Hallelujah.
Meanwhile, it takes slightly longer than a millisecond for you and I to learn that, doesn't it? Slightly? It takes slightly longer for us to learn what that means now. What does my week look like now that that happened? What does my mind think on now that this has happened? What are my priorities now that this has happened? What do I do with all this junk now that it's happened? It takes slightly longer. But God has given us the equipment, the information we need to learn that. What to do with our baggage. How to change our thinking now that that's reality. Bondage. When you're trying to bring your legalism, your curses, your guilt, your past into the new creature, what you're bringing is baggage and bondage. I had a man write me, and this is not a joke, this man was serious. He was petrified to stop tithing because he was worried God was going to kill his dog if he did. Where did he learn a thing like that? In church! By the blessed, reverend, holy pastor, brother. Bishop, yeah. Dr. Reverend Hoyton-Toity Malloy taught him if he stopped tithing, his dog would die. And this was a problem for this guy because he was having a hard time making ends meet. You know, do I pay the mortgage this month or do I pay the electric bill? Well, whatever happens, the pastor's got to get his cut in your back pocket first. Or God will kill your dog. You want to live like that? You want to pay money to hear that after you learn Galatians 3:13. But this man was under that bondage. Now, what he needed, where I had to start with this guy, I get a lot of emails where I read them and it's like, okay, where do we start here? I had to start with Galatians 5:0 with this guy. Turn over to Galatians 5:0, please. You know what Galatians 5:1 says. You've all got that memorized, I'm sure. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." This guy hasn't gotten untangled for the first time yet. He's still all tangled up in that yoke of bondage, so I can't start at Galatians 5:1 with him. We got to start at Galatians 5:0. We got to say, look, first, what are you trusting for your soul's salvation? Are you a saved person? Okay, now let's move on. Let's tell you a little bit about this and what to do with your Malachi law tithe curse and what to do with your pastor who is either too ignorant or too crooked to tell you the truth about it. Again, I've been cursed many times by pastors. I'm still here. But he needed to see clearly what God had done to him and for him. He needed to be shown the door to liberty for the first time. The broad shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for your sins, they're wide enough to carry whatever pile and whatever mess you have in your bags. He can take them. You can drop them off there because that's where they're at. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for you. He took the handwriting of ordinances that was against you out of the way, nailing it to his cross. It's done. Trust it and believe it like you trust and believe the gospel. I try to put mental images in my mind. When I hear people talking about I still have these curses, or I'm still going to be cursed if I don't do X, God's going to judge me if I don't do Y or Z, what I imagine in my mind is you're up here, Christ is on that cross for you. He's nailed there, taking the punishment for you. And here you are, you pull out your stepladder, and you climb up with your crowbar, and you're trying to pull some of those nails out. You say, no, no, no. Don't pay for that. I'm going to carry that load myself because I can't get rid of my guilt. Because I can't get rid of my curse. That's what you're doing. It's done. I don't understand what you've been through. No, I certainly do not. I've only lived my life, but I understand Bible facts. And I understand what the Lord Jesus Christ did for all of us. I can't even. Yes, you can even. That's for the millennials. Can't even. They love it, don't they? They love it when old men like me tease them. That's what I hear. I'm 40. I'm officially old. Think about your favorite doctrine that you're having the hardest time letting go, that you were taught in church, you've got it in your bag, and you don't tell anybody about it. You know it's wrong, kind of, pretty sure, but you don't want to give it up. Give it up. It's nailed to the tree. Put that in the circumcision, uncircumcision, pagan junk that you don't need anymore because you are a new creature in Christ and you decided that you're going to learn how to operate like one. But I just struggle with guilt. Guilt, guilt, guilt. Look over at Philippians chapter 3. You have an apostle that says he's your pattern and says, follow me. And he would be a person that knows full well the concept of guilt. Whatever it is that you've done in your life, I would suspect that there are not too many people in here who have murdered innocent people. Your apostle did. Do you think he's familiar with the concept of guilt? What does he say in Philippians 3? Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not there yet, brothers. But this one thing I do. We're not talking about a 47-point manual here. This one thing I do, start here. And what does he say? Forgetting those things which are behind. Do you know why? Because you've been set free from them.
Hallelujah.
Forgetting those things which are behind when you were a Pharisee, when you were a murderer, when you were an injurious person, when you taught wrong doctrine, when you believed wrong doctrine, when you punished people with your wrong doctrine. Forget those things which are behind. I've wasted so much of my life believing wrong things about the Bible. I know. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. We all have. Now we've learned about the new creature. We've learned how to rightly divide our Bibles, forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You can't be pressing toward the mark of the prize if you're focusing on all the filth that you left behind. You can't do both. You can't press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus if you're focused on your guilt. If you're focused on supposed or alleged curses that are still on you. You can't do that. It says in verse 15, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded." Can we be thus minded? You don't speak that way in your normal conversation, do you? I wish that we would be thus minded in this regard, sir. But that's how your Bible talks. Can we be thus minded? And the answer is yes, we can. All we need is to be brainwashed. We do. We need our filthy brains washed. We need them cleaned up. We need our minds renewed with God's Word rightly divided, teaching us about this new creature and who we are now in Christ. Romans 12:2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind," a washed brain, "that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Guess what's not in the perfect will of God? All your sin, all your baggage, all your curses, all your wrong doctrines, all your guilt, that's not in the perfect will of God. So quit trying to drag it in. You have Colossians nearby. Look over at Colossians 1. Colossians 1:21. Colossians 1:21, "And you, filthy, rotten, Gentile, pagan, whatever you are, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled."
Amen.
Done deal. Finished. Complete. "Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in whose sight?" In a holy God's sight? Me? When you make a list of my life, if you could watch it all on video, do you know, I can tell you there's three things you would not say. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable. It is a miracle. It is God's righteousness imputed to my account and my sin put on his account. And God can present a filthy jerk like me, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. So if God can say that about me, and if God can say that about you, why can't you say it about yourself? Good question.
I'm just a sinner, saved by grace.
That's true. But God has made you a saint of the Most High God when He saved you by His grace. So if you started identifying yourself as that, you might be more inclined to act like one. If you start with, I'm a saint of the Most High God, who's presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight by the power of the gospel, you might, oh, see what you did there? You're forgetting those things which are behind, and you're focusing on what you are now. You'd be more inclined to act like it. This is kind of a preachy lesson, isn't it? Yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. How are you going to do that verse if you won't admit the truth of it? Let me finish. Actually, I don't know what time I started, so I don't know if I'm going long or not. But the Sunday school class is still going, so I'll keep going. You kids. You still have page 19. I want to finish up. I know we've got lots of lessons on tithing and money and finances and all that on the website, but there are people that watch this series who haven't watched any of those videos. On page 19, talking about the tithe curse, what happens when you learn Galatians 3:13? When you learn Romans 6:14, you're not under the law. The man with the exorbitantly expensive suit who is passionately ranting to you about law curses in Malachi and bringing a curse on their assembly, and when you have enough Bible in you to block those fiery darts from that well-dressed man who's trying to get into your pocket, let me say, sorry, Romans 6:14. I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. Well, what's that? Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. Sorry. And then you go on the attack, don't you? 2 Corinthians 9:7. Sorry, I give as my heart purposes. I don't give by necessity. Then you take Galatians 3:13 again. You ain't going to curse me, buddy. You're not getting in this. Your speeches and your rants aren't powerful enough to get through the seal that is around me as a member of the church, the body of Christ. When you do that, and you... is that preacher done with you? No. No. All you've done is told the man, your shepherd. Your shepherd needs a new Bentley. What would that say about the Lord's message if your shepherd was driving a Chevy? He needs a Bentley. Your shepherd needs a new G5 jet. You get him a 737 Max 8, right? That's the one with the software problem. The preacher's not done. All you've told him is he needs to change his tactics with you. Because he tried guilt with you, and that didn't work. So what he's going to do now is go after this pile of flesh that you still live in, and he's going to go to your greed. That's the two reasons most people give to churches: guilt and greed. And if you have the booklet, now first I want to read a verse in Luke. Now in Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6 and verse 34. Now let's read this verse and see if we can understand it. This is red letters, I know, so Jay Witte, he wasn't talking to us, but we can get at what Jesus was talking about. He says in Luke 6:34, "And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again." So it's pretty straightforward in that verse that Christ is condemning people who give for the purpose of getting it back, right? You give expecting to get back and get paid back. Big deal. Sinners do that. That's how we build our biggest banks, don't we? Interest. The miracle of interest. So that's in Luke 6:34. Now let's turn far, far away from that verse. Turn zero pages in your Bible to verse 38. Okay? Guilt doesn't work on you anymore, so we've got to switch to greed. Either way, your shepherd is going to get paid. Right? So let me put my preacher voice on. And as we call the ushers after we've whipped you up with 20 minutes of music and got you in an emotional froth, we're going to bring the ushers down and I'm going to stand here and say, "Give! And it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together. If you just sow the seed into this ministry." Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, see, I could get a crooked job if I wanted to.
We're going to make him bishop.
Yeah. Where's my honorary doctorate? "For with the same measure that ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again." Don't you believe the Lord wants to unload His blessings on your life if you'll just step out in faith and sow that seed? Amen. Hallelujah. And as you're writing the check, what are you thinking about?
Greed.
You greedy jerk, serving that pile of sin of the flesh, you're writing a check because you think you're going to get paid.
Interest.
You write your check to Liars for Jesus International Mission. You want the Bentley too. So in the booklet, points this out here at the bottom of page 19. It says, when Jesus said that, when he said Luke 6:38, not only was Jesus not talking to you, he wasn't even talking about finances. He was not talking about money in that verse. Have you ever heard it preached like that on TBN? It's always about money. What the Lord was speaking about in the context was love and forgiveness. Did you ever hear that preached? Pressed down, shaken together, you're going to get love. Men shall give into your bosom. Forgiveness? I never heard that preached.
Never will.
Never will either, that's right. But that's what the verses are talking about. You know how I did that? And I found that out? Incredible, amazing Bible study technique. I read the verses. I just read them. I really read them. I did. Well, that's just your interpretation. No, I just read the verses. I didn't interpret anything. I just read them. But that, where are you going to hear that said? Unless some jerk like me says it. That's why I'm saying it. Read the verses. Deal with your guilt. Deal with your curses. Deal with your past. Press on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And make no occasion for that flesh that you still live in until you have the best day of your life and you're rid of it. Amen? All right, that finishes page 19 in Jesus Wasn't Talking to You, episode 15.